Well, for one, that is not the update I thought you were going to talk about.
Okay, well, that's what we're talking about right now.
But we'll see. Odds are he's still in fighting shape. He's dealt with this before. Literally last year with The Rock before that Bloodline Rules match. He's dealt with all of this before and still was able to fight through it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right. Quick shout out to Maria. Oh, it's getting heated, y'all. It ain't heated. This isn't heat because I'm always right. I like it. I'm just kidding, y'all. I'm just kidding. No, it's all love. We like to have fun here. And plus, if me and Blood argue gives us numbers, then it's all good. And don't do the fireworks stuff. But all right, Toxic. We're gonna hear from Cody Rhodes on Friday, according to Michael Cole. What do you think we're gonna hear?
I honestly don't know. I'm confused. I don't know if he's gonna say, "Hey, John Cena, you're a stupid bitch." I don't know if he's gonna say, "What happened? What happened at Elimination Chamber was completely my fault because I said, hey, Rock, go fuck yourself." Mm-hmm. Or if he's going to say, Rock, you're a whiny, stupid bitch. Travis Scott, you shouldn't have been there. Take your sage somewhere else and go back to Hollywood or wherever the fuck you are.
Houston. He's from Houston.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Blood, what do you think Cody Rhodes is going to cry about on Friday?
As far as the report's concerned by Michael Cole, again, same thing as Bianca. It's a, hey, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. If you want to know, tune in this Friday, even though it would have been probably a much hotter angle had we had Cody come out as soon as possible. Talk about what would have been a loaded Raw had we had what happened, Punk's segment, and then we also got a Cody segment later. Would have been pretty freaking dope. But as far as I'm concerned, I think he's going to come out. He's going to talk about the betrayal he feels. He's going to talk about the betrayal he feels by The Rock, but he's probably mainly going to talk about the betrayal he feels from Cena. He's probably going to give us some kind of diatribe about, you know, back in the old days before he left, how Cena, you know, was kind to him backstage and they had a rapport, took him as we can coach him. We're probably going to get some story about that. And then he's going to talk about how, you know, probably Cena, you're the face. You betrayed everything you ever stood for, hustle, loyalty, respect. Were those just words to you? It'll probably be something along that line in a promo-wise because Cena is not coming back to the 17th of March. They already cited that. So it's not like he's going to get interrupted by Cena or The Rock. So that I'm not sure who would come out at that point, but it will be remain to be seen. We'll have to tune in.
Shout out to BT Knight. He's on the comments. Mm-hmm. He couldn't be with us tonight. He's being a responsible adult in society. Shout outs to BT. He says, I don't know why the ref didn't call it the disqualification. I'm sure he's referring to the main event. And whatever Cody Rhodes has to say, it ain't going to be better than what Punk said tonight. Yeah, Punk had a great promo. The other update that I want to address before we talk about anything else is the Sami Zayn update after his match at Elimination Chamber versus Kevin Owens. Sami Zayn is out indubitably. Or what was the word that he said? Indefinitely. Sami Zayn is going to be out. Oh, man. I mean, Sami Zayn took a beating, but he didn't take that package pile driver. Is there a possibility you guys think we could still see Sami Zayn come back for WrestleMania? Mr. Blood, let's go with you first.
First off, this is, you know, classic wrestling. You got to sell the finish. And I think it's a good thing they're going to keep him off TV for a little bit. Because even though he didn't get hit with the package pile driver, he still got his face and throat rammed into two turnbuckles with a steel chair wrapped around his neck. He still got put through a double stack table, brain busted through another table, got beaten with a hockey stick, got beaten to death with chairs, and then got apron power bombed, I think, three times. So, and then pop-up power bombed in the ring as well. Not even a stunner. I think that he's done with the stunner. I think that was for face Kevin Owens. But literally, if you're not selling the effects of all of that, that's just bad storytelling. So I think that him selling this for several weeks, hell, I'll be fine if he sells it up until Mania night, like when Kevin and Randy are in the ring together, and maybe Kevin's going to do something horrible or about to, and then all of a sudden you hear the whoa, you know, and then I think he comes back to a massive Mania pop. But I think keep him off TV until then. Sell it to really make the devastation stick home with the viewer. That's my thought.
All right. No Kevin Owens update, though, because Kevin Owens was also in that match, but we didn't hear anything about him. I guess no one really cares about Kevin Owens. So, yeah, those were the updates that I wanted to cover before we talk about any of the matches here really quickly. Let's talk about Jey Uso, because I kind of seen this coming from a mile away, because we've seen this, I feel like, the past couple weeks where Gunther is, you know, healing, getting heat on Otis and Akira Tozawa, and Jey Uso comes out for the save. We saw this again during the match with Gunther versus Otis. Gunther kind of struggled with Otis, but he still got the win, obviously, because it's fucking Gunther. But Otis still did his thing. Otis still got his shit in. Otis still did the worm on Gunther. Yes, Otis did the worm on the World Heavyweight Champion, Gunther, of all people. I think we have...
BT.
So, we saw Gunther, BT, you came in just at the right time. We're talking about Jey Uso now.
Oh, perfect.
He
can everybody hear me clearly?
Yeah, you're good. Good.
All right, good.
So, after the match, Gunther continues the beatdown on Otis. Jey Uso comes out to the for the save. Now, my question, it's good. It was good to see Jey Uso. Jey Uso picked up the title belt after Gunther dropped it. Jey Uso looked good with the World Heavyweight Championship, I'm not going to lie. But are we going to do anything else with this? Is it just every week up until WrestleMania? Is it just going to be Gunther beating up on Otis and then Jey Uso coming out for the save? Mr. Blood, I see you. I went first with you last time, but we're going to start with BT Knight this time, and then we'll go with you, Mr. Blood.
Don't worry, Mr. Blood, I'll be very quick. So, first off, Jey Uso does look really good with the world title. I'm glad you could see that. Second off, I don't know about what we're going to be doing every single week going forward, but I do know that we're basically going to lean into more of the crash out Jay that we were used to watching back in the pandemic. Like, not to the exact same heights as it, but there's still layers of it there, and that's what we need more, because that's exactly the hints of it that we were getting when Jay was cutting his promo or answering what's her name, Caitlin, whatever her name is,
Jenner,
when he was answering her question, and he says, like, they're downing me, and he even said there's hints of himself doubting himself as well. So, yeah. So I think they're going to dive into more of that stuff, but we need to see more of that Crash Out Jay stuff. So as far as I'm concerned, if we get that stuff, that's all I give a shit about. But for what they're doing going forward, I don't know the specifics, but that's what I really want to see. So those are my thoughts.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. And we saw more of that later on. Jey Uso did an interview when he was walking out of the arena, a really passionate promo. So yeah, I think you're right, BT. All right, Mr. Blood.
The problem with this feud, I think, is pretty simple. WrestleMania is too far away. WrestleMania is either normally the very end of March, and back in the day, it used to be in the first like weekend of March, but it is literally April 19th and 20th this year. Last year, it was the first weekend. And it's and the problem is, you have Jay win the Rumble way back in January now. Okay, we're in March. Then you've got fucking the problem being that, okay, well, you have to go 3 months almost to Mania and make this feud last. And I don't think the problem with the feud is Jay. I think the problem with the feud is Gunther. Gunther, no offense to him, he is an incredible in-ring talent. He is not entertaining enough to sustain a feud that is taking this long. The thing is, when Gunther went up against Sammy, Sammy carried that feud. When Gunther went up against Sheamus, Sheamus carried that feud. The problem is Gunther is always a champion. He's never not a champion. And if he isn't a champion, he just doesn't have the gold for two fucking months until he wins gold. The problem is you took somebody like Gunther who is so good in ring, so legitimate, pardon me, has an insane presence about him, but in every single feud Gunther is in, it's his opponent that is always carrying the feud because they're more interesting than he is. They're more charismatic than he is. They are have a much bigger crowd connection than he does. Jay is the most over guy in the company right now, and he's in a feud with a guy who is a world champion, but doesn't have really any crowd fare. Doesn't have any, you know, isolating thing that the crowd, when he comes out, they do a thing with him, or they have a chant for him, or anything like that. He's the ring general, and you know, but it's like they don't do anything. When he comes out, no one's doing this. No one's going, Gunther. Like, there's no connection that he has with the audience other than I'm the evil foreign heel.
Okay.
And Jay is doing as much as he can. And the problem is he's only getting what Gunther is capable of giving him back. If anybody else was the world heavyweight champion, if Seth was the world champion, there would be actual character for Jay to bounce off of in his promos, in these segments.
Oh boy.
All Gunther can do is come out and try to speak his way through his accent into his promos, do filler shit with Alpha Academy, or sneak attack Jay. Are we supposed to really do that for the next month and a half? Because that's all Gunther has. That's all that's in his bag in between feuds and promos. That's all he's ever done in every feud he's ever been in. Is attack from behind, shit talk on the mic, they do a brawl, and then they go to the PLE. The problem is, this PLE is so far away that it's going to get real old real quick.
All right. So here's the other side of things. So you mentioned that, you know, you said that Gunther, did you say he was kind of boring, right? His promos are boring.
I don't think Gunther's boring. I think he has a problem getting through his promos. He's not good on the mic. He's okay. Not. And anybody who says Gunther is lying to themselves.
Okay, neither is Jay, but here's the thing.
Jay is a lot better.
Here's the thing. Gunther is at least cutting promos. I mean, you're right. There's something missing with this feud because it's such a far away. That's why I was making the question. Is this all we're going to see? Because it's mostly Gunther coming out, Gunther doing all the talking, Jey Uso comes out and he just chases Gunther off. When is Jey Uso cut a promo backstage? Yeah, that's cool. But like, Gunther is cutting the promos in the ring. He's, you know, he's healing in the ring.
But Gunther is saying words. Jay is doing character work. Okay. There's a difference.
Jay Uso needs to say words to build up this feud in order to make this feud more interesting. It's not going to get interesting if Jay Uso is doing his character work while Gunther is trying to heat up the feud.
Gunther isn't trying to heat up the feud. He's too busy attacking everybody else but Jay.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, all the, like, everything that Gunther's
doing. 2 weeks of Alpha, two weeks of Alpha Academy now. 2 weeks of it.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with they're just trying to protect Jey Uso because, I mean, he can... Honestly, I like Jey Uso, and I like to make fun because I know you guys like him, but his promos aren't that great.
He's very, but at least when he fires up, he's able to do what Gunther can't on the mic. He can resonate with the audience, and that's the goal.
Yeah. Toxic, let's go with you, and then let's go with you, Toxic, and then Tommy, you can finish this up. What are your thoughts on the Gunther and Otis match and Jey Uso coming out for the save?
I'm gonna start with the Gunther and Otis match. Amazing match. I loved every single second of it. Every single match was good tonight. But I like this match more because it's giving people that are at the bottom of the roster, like the Alpha Academy, a chance to fight against someone big like Gunther and giving them a potential shot at the World Heavyweight Championship, but we already know Jay's next, so they're obviously not going to win. Now, I'm going to talk about the Jay stuff. Oh, shit. Crash Out Jay is back. Crash Out Jay is back. And if I'm honest, Crash Out Jay is my favorite version of Jay. He's not going to take any of your shit. If you talk shit, you're going to get hit. And, I don't know. Actually, you know what? I'm not going to say that because R-Truth said, I don't even know if that's PG. So, never mind. But yeah, I'm loving everything about this feud, but Blood's right. Gunther is the boring one in this feud. In this feud, not in general. In this feud, it's mainly Jay because Gunther's attacking everyone else and not saying anything about Jay. He's just shit-talking Jay behind his back, not even saying it to his face. And then whenever he does, he waits for Jay to get caught off guard, like with A-Town Down Under, who attacked him after he got done with Gunther. So, he's just not even making this feud interesting. It's Jay that's doing it. That's all I gotta say.
All right, Tommy.
When it comes to Jay's promo stuff, Snug, you seem to forget something. That back in the day, which one of the Usos was the talker? I couldn't even tell them apart. It wasn't Jay. It was Jimmy. Jimmy was the one between the two that was doing the promos. It was him. It wasn't Jay. But they're right. Overall, Gunther, he's not fully boring. I will say that. He's not boring. Although his moveset is, it's mainly chop, 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 kick, power bomb. That's it. Except for the headlocks that he puts them in from time to time. But between the two, Jay is the one that has more connection to the crowd. Gunther doesn't really do anything except attempt to get into his opponent's head. That's pretty much it. Without Ludwig Kaiser, who actually has connection to the crowd, Gunther almost has nothing. Without the rest of
him. All right. Moving on then. So besides that, tonight we had three title matches, right? Besides the main event that we already talked about, we had the tag team titles were on the line, right? The War Raiders versus the Creed Brothers. And I'm sorry, but it's the tag team division. We've already established that the tag team division is not very exciting. It's not very good right now. So this, to me, felt like a filler match. Now, the ending, though, the ending was really good. The finish of this match was really good. But we had to sit through... This was like a... It felt like a long match. We had to sit through a lot of stuff just to get to the ending. And I don't know if it was really worth it, but... Tommy, let's start with you. We haven't started with you. What's your thoughts on this tag team match really quickly? Because I don't want to spend too much time on it.
Well, you say that it's just the tag division. SmackDown's is more chaotic. Raw's has... It's way more collected. But... And I said this on the kick stream as well. And I also said it in the chat. Who is behind anybody in American Made? Literally nobody since they were brought up from NXT. When they were in NXT, all three of them, they all were great. But since being brought up, those three are made to be jokes. It's like they're just comedy. That's pretty much it. The match was decent. Wasn't best of the night, but it was decent. But between the tag or Ivy Nile, I definitely preferred the tag.
All right, let's go with you, BT. Did you catch this tag team match?
No, I wasn't able to, but I did see the clip of... Chad Gable hitting the, I think it was a Shooting Star Press, I think it was.
Not Chad
But what
Gable,
I want to talk but, about is...
But one of the Creed brothers.
Right. But what I want to talk about quickly, if I could, Chad Gable as a whole, he's been fucked since his WrestleMania match was stolen by Sami Zayn last year. I mean, it was exciting at first when he first turned heel, but god damn it. They didn't capitalize off of it. And that's the problem with Triple H's booking. He has so many awesome tales to tell, but when they get capitalized with like a huge heap of momentum, he never fucking capitalizes of it. Jey Uso is one of those fucking examples. And hopefully there's a minuscule fucking doubt in me that they won't pull that trigger, but hopefully Jey Uso gets that win that he fully deserves. But Chad Gable as a whole, I have not enjoyed anything that he has been doing in American Made. Apart from them slapping the shit out of each other to pump each other up and looking like they're on fucking meds all the time, that's the only thing that I fucking enjoyed. That's the only thing that I've enjoyed. Them as a whole... Just get them the fuck off my screen. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I guess it's important to mention that all members of the American Maid, I think they're called now, they all lost titles matches tonight, including Ivy Nile.
Yeah, their name is American Maid.
Toxic, what were your thoughts on this tag team match, and then Mr. Blood?
Okay, I'm going to be completely honest. I only watched half of this match. It was just boring. I don't get me wrong. I love the War Raiders. Love them. Probably the best tag team on the Raw roster, in my opinion. If you don't think so, then cry about it. But yeah, when it comes to American Made, they're just not good. And I'm pretty sure it was Blood that said it. But before the Creed Brothers joined American Made, they were a lot more interesting. They were, I forgot what he said, but they were a lot more interesting and a lot better in the ring. Or it was Tommy, I don't know who. But those are my thoughts, and I forgot who said it. The Raw tag team division is a lot more boring, but so is the SmackDown division. The SmackDown division's just more chaotic.
But
it was me who said it in the chat, and I can go back and prove it, Tommy. But in the chat, I said that the Creed brothers, when they first got called up, they were being treated as a massive deal. They were being put over like crazy by commentary. They were getting insane reactions. I think it's Julius Creed, the skinnier, taller brother, who does the insane repeated kip-ups over and over again, the no-arm kip-ups. That was a huge thing. And then they took him off our TV for a while. And we didn't see him for weeks and weeks and weeks. And people forgot about him. And then when Chad Gable turned on Alpha Academy, he introduces these guys as his new backup. And I thought that they were going to be the super mega heel stable. I thought, oh, they're getting a heel push with a recently, you know, turned heel Chad Gable. This could be, you know, a game changer on the Raw roster. Then quickly, they started letting the guys talk on the mic sometimes. Could tell they weren't really ready for it. And slowly but surely, we watched them turn into comedy fodder. And even though Chad is supposed to be this big, you know, mega fucking mid-card heel, he's still doing comedy shit. And so when I get to a tag team match like this, where I see a serious tag team like the War Raiders, who really put in the work, the effort. I mean, they have some insane matches. Ivar might be, in my opinion, the most deceptively athletic person on the entire WWE roster. I mean, I still cannot get over that match yet with Kofi Kingston last year when Eric went out with an injury. But this match, I thought, was decent. I thought it definitely picked up in the fourth. I also think the crowd stuck tonight. And when I watched this match, it was very plain to me that they were doing some really great work in this ring. Through a good portion of the match, the in-ring work was really solid. I think the reason it felt boring is because the crowd was giving them nothing from the jump. I mean, the crowd had used a lot of their energy with the Seth Rollins thing. And then we had the Otis and Gunther match where they spent a lot more of their energy getting behind Otis. And then we get to this match finally. And they're just kind of dead for it. And I don't think they were dead because of the War Raiders. I think they were more dead because of Alpha Academy. I think that would have been a way more heat for them in this match if Gable was actually there ringside to stir up the audience and piss them off. But I think the audience also, the crowd just didn't give them anything. There was no energy to feed off. The crowd kind of sucked tonight through many matches. They sucked through almost every single title match except for the main event. And a big proponent of, you know, having a great match is you do really feed off that audience. You do feed off that crowd interaction. And the Creeds were trying to get into crowd interaction tonight. Julius Creed, the taller, skinnier one, was literally like, you know, mouthing to the crowd, like making cry faces, boo-hoo-hoo. Like he was trying to get heat, interact. And even Eric and Ivar, when they were trying to pump up the audience, you know, Eric went for the war. It took like 4 seconds for the first person to go, oh, yeah, war. And they finally start chanting. I'm like, dude, these are your tag team champions, okay? This is a title match. You're getting to watch. You paid your money to come to a live televised event, and you're getting to see three championship matches tonight. Where is your energy? Because you could have paid way more to go to a PLE and be quiet, paid $300 to $400 a ticket and a seat to come here,
Mr. Blood,
and not cheer,
Mr. Blood. A title match, a championship title is not going to make a match more interesting. The crowd wasn't feeling it because the WWE hasn't given us a reason to give a crap about either of these teams. Like, I don't care if they're...
Yes and no. Because when the War Raiders came back, they were treated like a big deal because they both came back from career-threatening injuries. They were treated like a big deal. And not to mention, a title match does make a match more interesting because it gives it the one thing that a regular one-on-one might not. Stakes.
I mean, me and Toxic can sit here and tell you that we were not interested at all whatsoever. Like, even at the end, I'll admit it, they got me at the end of the match. But at first, this was just like, ugh.
Well, I mean, it's a title match. I mean, it's going to have this, it's going to have a slow burn if it's going to be a good one. All these guys are you know, very talented individuals. But at the end of the day, a crowd really does make or break a match because the crowd is a part of the show. The crowd could have given them fake energy, false energy if they wanted to. They could have come alive, cheered them on more, made them feel like more. Until then, I'm just listening to a lot of bumps happening on a mat and crickets. And especially when it came to the next title match we'll talk about, really kind of kills the mood for the viewer at home if the audience can't be bothered to muster up the energy to so much as clap their hands.
I don't know, man. I feel like they owe us a lot when it comes to the tag team division. But
I will agree with Blood that their energy did go really big for Punk. Dead. Massive for Rhea. That's pretty much how it went.
But that's not the crowd's fault.
I mean, if I pay $500 or $900 for front row, I'm screaming until I'm hoarse.
If I pay $500, I hope that I get my money's worth, but that's not I'm not paying money to go watch the crowd chant or cheer. I'm paying money to go watch some good
show. No, but you are paying your money to come as alive as you possibly can, because that's why you went.
Yeah, but what's going to keep me alive is a show.
I mean, I'm getting good in reaction. Those guys worked an incredible match.
No, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But I mean,
whether or not the tag division is booked better or not doesn't really matter once the bell rings. When the bell rings, I'm watching these guys work their asses off for my entertainment.
You are.
I should cheer for them.
You are, but not every fan in that arena looks at wrestling like you do.
No, because the 90% of WWE fans are casual fans, and they don't even understand what a bump is until I explain.
There you go. Well, that's
but that's the thing. If you're a casual fan, you're not going to pick it apart as much, are you? And if you don't pick it apart as much, but you pay a shit ton of money to go see it live, a casual fan you think would cheer more than a crit.
So you're satisfied with the tag team division right now, Mr. Blood, how it is?
I don't think it's perfect, no, but it is leagues and bounds above what it was 3 years ago.
Well, all right. Speaking of, you know, matches that were very, very quiet, Ivy Nile versus Lyra Valkyrie for the Women's Intercontinental Championship. Now, I got to say, when I found out this match was happening, I was talking a lot of shit. These girls shut me up. They proved me wrong. They had a great match. They got me. I take all the mean shit I said about how no one cared about this match. And to an extent, they didn't. But they made me care a little bit. I really enjoyed this match. But let's go with you first, Mr. Blood. And then we'll go on to everyone else.
All right. I'll make it quick because I also said this in our chat during the match. I have been watching Ivy since NXT. The moment I saw the first clip of her, like 3.5, 4 years ago, I thought, who is this jacked little girl? She has this great look. She's got this presence to her when she used to do dips on the ropes when she'd come into her entrance. I thought, hell yeah, that girl's going to be a star when she hits the main roster. They fought her. I have literally been saying for weeks and weeks now to anybody who listened, Lyra Valkyria, incredible wrestler, zero character. They literally brought this girl up so that she could be Becky Lynch 2.0, and they have done fuck all to give her anything, let alone promos. I mean, honestly, let's be real. Lyra Valkyria has not actually had a full fleshed out feud the entire time she's been on the main roster. Not one. When she got called up and Becky left, she was shoved straight into a tournament. That's not a feud. She was shoved straight into a tournament where she had a little mini feud involving people in the tournament. But ultimately, she wins the tournament. Then she defends the title 2 weeks, 3 weeks after she wins it. Then she's been dealing with Ivy Nile on and off, on and off, on and off. Like, dude, you're a champion with no story. You're a champion with no direction. And I swear to God, I am sick and tired of watching Lyra Valkyria hold that title just so they can wait for Becky Lynch to come back and take it from her. Because that's what it feels like. It feels like they're just holding their breath for Becky to go, hey, guys, I found a babysitter. I'm ready to come back. And they're literally just like, until then, we're just going to have her tread water and do mini feuds where she's not doing any promo work. She's never on the mic. She does a backstage interview for 2 seconds and gets attacked. But we have no character, no story, no direction. I don't even know what her character is other than, oh, I'm Irish and I like to scream woo and I'm the Raven and the Black Cat and I've got a cool finisher. Like, literally, other than that, who is Lyra Valkyria? Yeah, she's the Women's Intercontinental Champion. Big fucking deal. You haven't made me care. Dakota should have won it because at least Dakota would have been paired up with Io, whom together the crowd goes crazy for because they love Damage Control. They have a fan connection because they've been around longer and they've built stories with the audience to be involved with. Okay? So as far as I'm concerned, Dakota should have won it because at least they're actually giving Dakota TV time. They're giving Dakota promo work. They're giving Dakota some story to work with. What have they given Lyra? Waste of a title run so far. And it's not her fault.
All right. Tommy.
So, Blood, I'm going to correct you on something. The Intercontinental title was not her first tournament. You are right that they immediately pushed her into one.
Yes, the Queen of the Ring. I know.
It was Queen of the Ring that she went
two back-to-back tournaments.
Finals four. That she went all the way to the finals for, only to be squashed by Nia. Like, squashed by Nia. Completely wrecked. But I love Lyra. It's the entire reason why immediately when this tournament was announced, my response was, it's either Lyra or it's Dakota. And more, I'm like, it's going to be Lyra. Lyra is going to end up winning this tournament. And she did. Called it from the beginning. But Blood is right. Overall, she's defended it, like, what? Twice? That's it?
Nah, feels like she's defended it at least three times, I want to say.
But from her first defense to now, she has defended it more in the last month than she has when she first fucking got it. Two defenses back to back. Dakota last week. And Ivy this week. Back to back.
Yeah.
But Ivy, like, as I said with the tag match, nobody cares about American Maid at this point. It's like the only one that they really care about, and that's still minuscule, is the Kurt Angle wannabe that is Chad Gable. He's literally taken everything from Chad Gable, including the submission. Nobody cares about American Maid whatsoever. Do they care about Lyra? Yes, but still only a little bit more than Ivy. That's it. They haven't really given us anything for either. And this is, again, one of the big things where I'm just like, Triple H, come on. You've got this girl that's a high flyer, that's a fighter, one hell of a fighter, may I add. But you do nothing with her. She can absolutely put on a show and you're doing nothing with her.
They're just waiting for Raquel Rodriguez to finally step up and take it from her. Anyway, BT Knight, what did you think of? BT Knight, thoughts on the women's intercontinental title match?
Well, I did see the clip where Lyra Valkyria did retain, so congratulations to her for that. Didn't watch the full match, but honestly, I couldn't agree more. Lyra Valkyria feels like one of those Irish gimmicks that is like, hey, here comes Becky Lynch, and she's fully going to live up to the Becky Hogan name that everybody calls her on Twitter. Like, that's basically the vibe that we're getting from her. And honestly, I couldn't agree more. There is no fucking direction, no fucking story, apart from being Becky Lynch's little fucking puppet, whatever the fuck you want to call it. And Ivy Nile, as much potential she has, she's boring to watch as well. I do not like her. That's just my opinion on it. But honestly, from the clips that I saw, it looks like a really good match to watch. So congrats to both women for putting on a good match tonight.
It was a lot better than Lyra Valkyrie versus Bayley, that's for damn sure. But Toxic?
Yeah, hell of a lot better.
Thoughts on this Intercontinental Championship match, if any?
The problem with this match for me wasn't Lyra, it was Ivy. I just don't like how she works in the ring. Yes, she's a good performer in the ring, but I don't know, just something about it doesn't... Something about her moveset and how she moves in the ring is just screaming female Kurt Angle.
She wrestles like the Divas division back in the day.
Exactly. So I just don't like... I just want Triple H to put Lyra against someone other than Dakota and Ivy. But thank God we had the backstage segment with the Judgment Day, because Raquel Rodriguez said she was going to keep an eye on Ivy and Lyra. So could be seeing that soon.
The next women's intercontinental champion, Raquel Rodriguez.
Snug, shut up.
All right, you guys. Look.
No, Snug, shut up.
Other than that, I think we pretty much hit like all the high points of tonight's Monday Night Raw. Besides that, we had some segments here and there backstage in the arena. We saw the Judgment Day had a backstage segment. AJ Styles and Karrion Kross had one, which I thought was weird, where AJ Styles said that he was going to call out Logan Paul probably next week. We also saw Ludwig Kaiser and Penta in an in-ring segment where Penta ended up taking Ludwig Kaiser out. They had a little brawl, a little piece of business there in the ring. Then we had a video package where Chad Gable is supposedly in Mexico, where he met some old guy that kind of looked a little bit Asian, but maybe that's just me being racist because he had like the long beard and kind of had like a weird accent, but that's not really what old people look like in Mexico, so I think I'm allowed to say that.
You don't recognize your own people?
I do, and that guy did not sound or look Mexican at all whatsoever. But,
I've never seen a Mexican with a Chinese monastery beard.
No. Especially not in Lucha Libre. Especially not in Mexican wrestling. We also had the LWO. They had a video package. Very cinematic video packages, these things with Chad Gable and the LWO. And that was the extra segments that we didn't really touch on, unless there's anything about any of these segments you guys want to point out really quickly before we get out of here.
I'm ready.
Couldn't care about any of them.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready for the tornado tag. It's been a while since the last time we've seen that type of match.
Okay.
I'm also surprised that Ray is back so soon.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, the only exciting thing about the tornado tag match is that it's no DQ. But historically, I don't like that Ray sold like, it's a tornado tag match. You know what that means? It means for all four of us in the ring together, no disqualification. There have always been DQs in tornado tag matches. This is just going to be a no disqualification tornado tag match. But again, I don't care because they, as far as I'm concerned, so far they have been fumbling the New Day heel turn. And as far as I'm concerned, the LWO is one of the most repetitive and most repetitively boring acts on Raw because it's the same thing. Someone gets into an argument with Ray, so everybody with Ray has to get their ass beat while Ray eats a couple losses until he ekes out a victory for the feud. And it's wash, rinse, fucking repeat ever since they formed on SmackDown. And that's what it's been for 2 years. So I don't care anymore at this point.
I've got three words that forms into one question. Where is Zelina?
SmackDown.
SmackDown.
They moved her to SmackDown without actually giving a good angle for her.
And yet SmackDown has done nothing with her.
They had a video package for her last week. They're going to slowly build her up to something. Yeah, they were reminding everyone that she was a first ever queen of the ring, and she did this, she did that, and the this, that, and the other. But anyways, you guys...
They need to give her more.
No, I think she's fine, just like that. Let's keep it that way. All right, y'all. That was Monday Night Raw from March 3rd, Buffalo, New York. And that was a review. Thanks, fellas. I appreciate it. It was fun like always. And
props for going out in Buffalo winter fucking shirtless.
Good night, everyone. We'll talk soon. Later.
Yeet.
Yeet.
Yeet.